and he has been sharing his music with us and sharing his stories. He's a storyteller too, and keeping everyone awake and just having a wonderful time entertaining us, and we're enjoying him so much. I know you will too. Kevin Burke.
Well, hello. I don't know. I'm going to have to think for a while about that business of keeping everybody awake. I was beginning to think it was a plot to make sure I never saw bed again. I thought I must have misread the contract or something. But I've noticed it's a lot cheaper than drinking. And it's not too dissimilar. The judgment is beginning to disappear, like the power of speech. I've been to West Virginia a few times, but I've never spent this long in the place. And I see you have pickpockets in West Virginia. I've always had a good time here. I don't understand it. Really, and it's great to come here and meet some old friends, you know, and make a few new ones. And that's what happened to me this week. And I want to say thanks to everybody responsible. And had a great time and all that stuff, you know. So I thought I'd better mention that. They were a couple of gigs that I played there. The first one I learnt from a fellow called Gray Larson, who I'm sure a lot of you know. He He played it for me one night and I forgot it. Forgot it instantly, you know, typically. But I didn't quite forget it. I remembered that I wanted to know more about it, or I wanted to know the tune, but I couldn't get it together. So I rang him up and got him to teach it to me down the telephone. And I'd say it's probably the most expensive tune I've ever learned. So I have to play it every time I play, you know. Try and get the money's worth out of it. And in the second one, to sort of counteract the expense, I mean, to balance the books, like, the second one is one that I wrote, so it didn't cost me a cent. I didn't have to buy a book or a record or a cassette or nothing. It was just, you know, so it evens out, like. This tune I'm going to play now is called Butterfly, and it's a slip jig that was written by a fella called Tommy Potts. And I'll play another tune that I got from Gray Larson, a tune that he wrote called The Thunderhead. And he wrote it first as a jig, like an Irish style jig, and it was grand, you know, played it a good bit. But then one day he got to messing around and he put an extra note in nearly every bar but one. He must have been busy or something when he came to that bar. But it turns it into a sort of a Middle Eastern type of tune, which is a bit of fun. So the first one's the Butterfly and the second one's the Thunderhead.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, most of the music that I play comes from Ireland. And I better get back there quick. The fella that influenced me most when I was a kid, or the music that influenced me most when I was a kid, was the music from a place called Sligo, which is where my parents come from. And my father bought a whole load of records when he left the forces. You know, they give you a bunch of money when you leave, I suppose, to make sure you don't come back. Get out and stay out, like. And he spent most of it on records of fiddle players. And this is what I grew up with in the house, you know. So I'd like to play some music from one of those records, a recording of a guy called Michael Coleman. And the two tunes are called Bonnie Kate and Ginny's Chickens. Thanks to Ira. He's one of the new friends I made here. Well, down in the southwest of Ireland, they have a different type of music. Oh, it's more or less the same idea, like, just sounds a bit different. In most of the country, they play reels and jigs, but down in the southwest, they play polkas and slides instead. So I'm going to play three polkas now, but none of them come from down there. The first one used to be a reel called Charlie Harris's Reel. It was written by a fella called Charlie Harris. That's why I suppose it was called Charlie Harris's Reel. But I met Charlie this summer, and I told him that his reel had become a polka. And I hoped he didn't mind. And he said, "Oh, not at all." So, good. That made things very easy. Could have been embarrassing otherwise. The second polka comes from Finland, and the third one was written by a friend of mine called Mick Henley, who lives in Limerick, or used to live in Limerick. He's living in Dublin now. He's a great singer and songwriter. Thanks very much. Well, I'm going to try singing a song. The voice is useless for talking at the moment, so maybe the singing might be better. I'm the sort of guy who, I'm sort of lucky in a way. I don't sing very much, but I should probably sing more often because when my voice goes, it doesn't make much difference. You know? sort of convenient, you know, as you're about here. It's a song about a place called Mullingar, which is famous for almost nothing. I remember there was a music festival there about 1967, which was the worst festival I was ever at. And it got a set of traffic lights about 1964, I suppose. Or maybe it was 74, I can't remember, but, you know, that was quite an event. All the local townspeople, and even people from outside came into town and all stood around watching the cars stopping and starting up again. And the lights changing colour and stuff. But other than that, there's not much to it, except if you're going to Sligo from Dublin, if you're going to Sligo from London, you usually have to go to Dublin first. And then, that's what I used to do a lot. Have to go to Dublin, then you have to go to Mullingar and turn left. Turn right. You might get lost if you listen to me. Yeah, turn right, and then you end up in Sligo. And then when you're coming back, when you get to Mullingar, turn left and takes the Dublin. So as you can gather, I don't think a lot of the place, you know, it's not my favourite place at all. But the guy who wrote this song had a much different opinion. He had an awful lot to say about it. And just to show you how broad-minded I am, I'll let his opinion speak louder than mine. Something I very seldom do. Right. So Mullingar, it's a town in the middle, right in the middle of Ireland, a place called Westmeath. It's not exactly in the middle, but it's near enough. You may speak of Brussels, You may strain your muscles to speak of Brussels, of Paris, London, or Timbuktu, Constantinople, or Sebastopol, Vienna, Naples, or Tongatabu, of Copenhagen, Madrid, Kilbeggan, or the capital of the Russian Tsar. But they're all inferior to the vast superior and gorgeous city of Mullingar. This great metropolis, so fair and populous, attracts the sportsman, adorns the regions of sweet Westmeath. That fertile county, which nature's bounty has richly gifted with bog and heath. Them scenes so charming, with snipes a-swarming, attract the sportsmen from near and far. And he who wishes can catch fine fishes in deep Lough Owel near Mullingar. I'd stray forever by Brusna's river and watch the waters at their sparkling fall, with gander swimming and lightly skimming on the crystal bosom of the Royal Canal. Or on Thursday's wander amid pigs so tender, with geese and turkeys on every car, exchanging pleasantry with the damn fine peasantry that throngs the market in Mullingar. Ye nine inspire me, and rapture fires me to sing the buildings both old and new, the majestic courthouse and the spacious workhouse, the church and steeple which adorn the view. There's a barracks airy for the military, where the brave repose from the toils of war. Five schools, a nunnery, and a thriving tannery in the gorgeous city of Mullingar. Now hold it. The railway station, with admiration, I next must mention in terms of praise, where trains are rolling and engines howling strike each beholder with wild amaze. And then there's Main Street, that broad and clean street, with rows of gas lamps that shine afar, I could speak a lecture on the architecture of the gorgeous city of Mullingar. The men of genius, contemporaneous, approach spontaneous this favoured spot, where good society and great variety of entertainment is still their lot, where the neighbouring quality for hospitality and conviviality unequalled are. And from December until November, there's still diversion in Mullingar. Now, in conclusion, I make allusion to the beauteous females that here abound. Celestial creatures with heavenly features and tapered ankles that skim the ground. But it suspends me, the theme transcends me. My muse's powers are too weak by far. It would take Catullus, likewise to Bullus, to sing the praises of Mullingar. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to ask another friend to come up and give me a hand now, Mr. Paul Reisler. How are you doing?
Fine.
Good. Oh, grand. Going to play two hornpipes. The first one is called Caislean an Ór, which means the golden castle. And the second one I learned from a fella called Bobby Casey. And I know it as Bobby Casey's hornpipe. I worked that title out all on my own.